And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Among the Realms. Today's topic, we will be talking about releasing the past and discover your authentic self here at the Trinity Metaphysical Center in Hamburg, New Jersey. And Mercedes just lost it. She's letting go of the past. She's all happy now. She can't contain herself.
I've completely let go of the past.
That's it. Everything that just happened, ladies and gentlemen, within the last hour is now gone. We're trying to move forward, but they're not going to let me. So, having said that, why is it so important to move forward and not hold on to the past? Anybody?
Let me throw that out there. So that you're not carrying it with you
for your future.
That way... We'll go through this all over again. If you let go of the past, then you get to move forward 100%. And if you keep focusing or reviewing the past, then it owns you. So it has your energy. So it's good to release anything that's negative or that still weighs on you so that you're able to move forward in a more positive light, which we discussed before.
Yes, this is going to be the Reader's Digest version here. Sylvia Brown once said that God knows we're in human form, so he knows some things we're not capable of forgiving. For example, losing a child. How do you tell someone to move ahead when a situation like that happens?
Because Sylvia Brown, she felt that... we are in human form, so you can forgive to a certain point, but that doesn't mean we're not going to have hold on to some things because we are in, our spirit, we're spiritual energies in a physical vehicle. So we still have the human feelings, the human senses and things like that. So when there's things like that, or when somebody's, maybe their child was murdered, something like that, where it's something they feel like it's unforgivable. She has always believed that sometimes it's not the fact that it's forgiveness, like that you have to necessarily forgive, but that you have to forgive the situation, so it's not necessarily those, that she's telling you, that's how she felt, that she felt that, that's what she learned, be it through her guides or, the spirit energies that spoke to her. And it isn't easy to let go of things like that. And sometimes, we've talked about this before, it's just coming to a place where you're at peace with it within yourself. Not that it didn't happen or that you necessarily have to let go of the fact that it happened. It did happen. It's just putting it someplace where you're okay with it and being able to move forward from that point. Because it's hard. If you don't release a certain amount of it, you're going to always be carrying it with you forever, and you will never be the authentic self you can be.
Do you think that, and I always hear these parents when they lose a kid, or not always, but sometimes through murder or something like that, they say, "I forgive the person," and it's a cathartic thing for them. So what you're saying is you don't have to do that, that you can forgive the situation that made it happen or permitted it to happen. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's just how, some people are, not everybody feels that way. It's just some people feel you have to forgive completely, freely and completely. Not everybody is capable of that, in this human life where they can do that, and I don't know that any one of us, there are some things that could happen that maybe we would feel the same way, but they come to a place of peace with it by forgiving, like the actual, whether it be the situation that led up to it, or another way they can look at it where they're able to come to a sense of acceptance and peace within themselves. So that the forgiveness part, that's some people think one way, some people think another.
I think it's really hard to forgive something like that. Mm-hmm. And I think more of it is just letting go of the poison that this creates in your own life. And when a terrible thing like that happens, I mean, you may never be able to forgive somebody, but if you just stay in that place and just fill yourself up with that, constantly relive the fear and the hate and the horribleness of a situation, you're never going to go beyond that. So you just have to, I mean, it's going to be there, and you're not forgetting, but you do have to move forward and keep that person in your mind in a good place, and always put them in a good place. But you know, and then trust that whatever happened, whoever caused this horrible thing to happen, they have their own karma to go through, and it's like you can't affect that any more than that. You know what their life has done to them, or law enforcement has done to them. You just have to move forward and trust that their karma is going to take care of it, and you know, remember the loved one with the way you always remembered them.
Right.
For those who are new to the show, what is karma? In your own words.
Karma is bad things that have happened to you in previous lives that sometimes you have to relive and pay for in this life. It's like if you were a bad person, and I sort of think this, we've been learning in one of these Falun Gong classes that I've been taking occasionally, that karma is from your previous lifetimes. If you have done something bad or were not a good person, that it carries through until you sort of paid a debt. So and in each life you go through, and if you pay, you know, you keep trying to get better in each lifetime, and then the karma is in, the debt is finally paid. So,
and then you become an ascended master.
And then you become you'll become a better person or ascended if you finally get to the end of all these karmas. But if somebody does a terrible thing to you, I mean, they have a pretty heavy debt in their own life that's going to last for, we don't know how long. I mean, a really long time, until they have come to realize or lived another lifetime where they've had to make up for it, you know. To me, that's what karma is. It's something bad that's happened to you, that you have done something that caused harm to somebody, or, you know, and it's something you have to repay through your own life. I mean, I don't know. Is that what you think?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the part we were talking about, because we brought this up before, a lot of times when people have the thing about letting go of the past, it has to do with relationships. So if it's, say, a boyfriend and a girlfriend, and the boyfriend was really horrible to the girlfriend, or vice versa, that other person usually hangs on to, like, all of the horrible things they did to them. And then you do hear them say, you know, people will tell them, you know, someday, you know, karma, don't worry, they'll see their karma, blah, 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 blah. And then maybe, you know, a couple of years later, you see them going through stuff themselves. Like, say they cheated on them or something, and then they end up in another relationship, and then that person gets cheated on. That's supposedly where they say that they got their karma.
It's like payback.
Yeah.
In a way. You know?
Yeah. But that's usually the part where people have a hard time releasing things, and that the relationship end. Because when you're that close with somebody, and you trust them, and you open yourself up to them, and that type of thing, you're giving your heart to them, and it's, you know, betrayed, or it's broken, or, you know, it's damaged or traumatized, it's very hard for, you know, the mind to be able to move, and the heart to be able to move on from that so easily, you know. And like we talked about before, it's a healing process, you know.
It's an actual wound,
It's raw, usually, but for some people, they carry it for so long. You know, there is a healing process, so it's okay. You don't have to snap out of it in a month. You know, we're not saying that. But when we did talk about, you know, 5, 10, 15 years later, if you're still carrying a grudge, then there's something wrong.
Well, then you become healthy for you're addicted to. You become addicted to these feelings, because they're intense emotional feelings. And if you carry it for a really long time, it's, you become addicted to the pain of it, because you're feeling. You're still feeling something. You may have been in love with somebody, but now, and then they betrayed you. But you're feeling an emotional, as long as you can feel an emotion, that's why I think sometimes people hang on to these things, because they're afraid if they let go of it, they won't feel anything, when in fact, that's what they have to do, you know, to open themselves up for new experiences and new feelings that are ultimately, you know, if you're going to be better for you.
Well, you try to grow from it.
Try to grow from it, yeah.
When holding on to things like that, do other things manifest, like anxiety, depression kicks in the longer you hold on to it?
Physical.
I would think so.
Absolutely. Yeah. You make yourself sick. You know, a lot of people end up with depression and anxiety, but you can actually physically make yourself sick. So, you know, just the way your body is internalizing it.
Definitely.
You know, there's a practice of Buddhism where they feel that, and I've I'm going to say this, it might sound funny, but I've actually seen it in print, where it says you should thank your husband or your significant other when they do something to you, because that's a way for you to increase your good karma if you can weather it well.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a very hard...
I must have great karma.
I know. Seriously. So every time your husband or your boyfriend says...
you know, I really don't like
you. You know, or something terrible mm-hmm. to you, and you just go, thank you, and you walk away, that's supposed to increase your karma. Mm-hmm. It's not a way to that you can live easily.
No.
But, you know, so something to be said.
So something happens to a person, and there's usually two natural reactions. It's one or the other. One of them is the, why me? How do we handle with someone who is... First off, blames himself, say for a relationship, and they just keep prolonging it. Why me? Why me? Why me? I didn't deserve to do this, to have this happen to me. I don't know what I did to screw up here. What did I do wrong? And no matter how much they get reaffirmed, they still hold it in their heads and in their hearts that they did something wrong. How do we handle people like that? Or how do we help people like that?
Yeah, that was me like 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, and it lasted a long time because those are all the things you go through, those emotions. And the only way you work through that is to get to an okay place within yourself, period. That's the only way to do it. There's no other way to do it because everybody else is already seeing from the outside, no, this wasn't okay. No, there wasn't anything you personally did, but... In yourself, you're always beating yourself up because you're trying to find a reason, especially if it's somebody who doesn't have closure. They don't have an answer. And you have to work within yourself, knowing that the other person or whatever happened, that person was going through things, that it wasn't about you. It's just we make it about ourselves because we're the thing on the butt end of it. I say that to people. Sometimes it's not what somebody did. Sometimes it's not even a lesson. You want growth from it, but it doesn't mean it's a life lesson. Sometimes you're just on the butt end of somebody else's lesson or somebody else's, choice or, decision. So it's sometimes you're left trying to pick up the pieces and you have to move forward and you've got to find a reason. It's within yourself.
When you're the recipient, when you are on the end of that, and it's easier said than done, mm-hmm. but you almost have to step outside of yourself yep. and look at the situation as a friend would look at it, as if you weren't part of the situation, yep. and then give the advice, because it's so much easier for you to sit in front of a friend who's going through a situation and give them advice and try and help them and tell them these comforting things to make them not beat themselves up about it. But it's a lot harder to do to yourself. So you have to step outside of yourself and try and make it a learning and growing experience for yourself.
Now, sticking with that same philosophy, you have that other type where the person who got hurt will blame the other person who is doing all the hurting. Do you still step out of that position, maybe into the person who hurt? Into that position to see a different perspective. Maybe you'll get the truth. You won't like it, but it's the truth nonetheless. How do you help someone who is now doing the blame game for years?
Well, I just recently went through a situation with a friend that was really difficult for me. It's someone I knew for a long, long time. And I discussed it with Jackie, and I was very much in the place of blame. You know, that this person was in the wrong and this person did this, that, and the other thing. And Jackie kind of helped me to step outside of the situation. So I think it applies there as well. You really have to look at it from all angles. And actually, the question that she asked me that was, I have now been thinking about with almost everybody in my life has been, I know that you've known this person for a long time. But have they always been a good friend to you? And like, snap, immediately I said, no, I didn't even skip a beat.
You didn't.
I didn't. It immediately came out of my mouth. So sometimes, especially with people who have been in your life for a long time, and you have invested a lot of emotion in, mm-hmm. if you go through these tough situations, you really have to ask yourself, number one, is it worth the fight? Is it worth blaming them and getting into this argument? And number two, is this person helping me grow?
Right. You know, as a person.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's not just releasing the past, it's releasing old patterns and old ways of thinking that we have, and we get wrapped up in certain things with certain people. So people who are in long relationships with people, they sometimes they settle. Sometimes they've just become accustomed to being the one who bends. Sometimes they're used to being abused. Sometimes it doesn't matter what it is, mm-hmm. but they're in that pattern of the same thing. And sometimes it's completely, you know, reevaluating and changing, saying, wait a minute, you know, like when I told you that, sometimes somebody could be a great friend, you know, when we were, you know, 10, and, you know, maybe they were okay when we were 15. And by the time we hit 20, you know, or 50, it doesn't matter. They're not that kind of person. We change so much. And sometimes they're not really invested in, you know, us.
Sometimes you grow and people don't grow with you. That's okay. You have to know that it's okay to kind of let go of people, even if they've been in your life for a long time.
Yeah, it opens the door for new people. That's why.
Absolutely.
But I think that it's also letting go of parts of people. Sometimes there's a person and you love 80% of them as a friend, and you just got to overlook that 20%
plus
the 80% is worth all of the aggravation.
It's really choosing your battles, I think.
That's a good way to
choosing your battles, which I have to do quite frequently, I'll say. I don't know. It's really whether the fight is worth it or not. Most of the time it's not. If you take that step back and look at the situation, I'll say probably 85 to 90% of the time, it's not worth getting into the argument over and causing all that fuss.
Sometimes what happens is we're so busy trying to keep something and it's not good for us anymore that we make ourselves sick over we're trying to make sense of it and figure it out and understand it. And we're so busy trying to like figure that out. But they've been my friend for 20 years. Like that, it doesn't matter. You can have a friend that's been your friend for 1 year, who's been 10 times more a friend to you than the person that's been your friend for 20. But because you've called them your friend for 20 years, it's in your head. I need to keep that. They've been my friend for 20 years. And maybe they never were. Maybe they were always a taker. It's just that you were always the giver. And maybe you just got to a point in your life where you're not that way anymore. Now you're like, wait a minute. You know, I can receive, you know, so it just depends, I think, how we grow. And like you said before, who comes along with us, who doesn't grow with us. Because there's people who've been married for 56 years. They grow together. You know, they learn. They might not like each other all the time, but they grow together. They, like you said, you're not going to like everything about somebody, but that's part of, you know, relationships. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to, like, maybe you don't like how they are a certain way, but just, you know, be like, okay, I accept that person for being that way. I'm not talking about somebody who beats you. I'm talking about somebody who maybe they get a little grumpy when
they're
hungry.
It's the little annoyances it's not even overlooking them. It's kind of learning to love them, I think.
Yeah.
And loving them along with the things that you absolutely love about them. Mm-hmm. It's incorporating everything in. You can't take pieces of a person.
Nope.
Whole package.
Well, that's part of what happens with people. They want somebody that's like, they think they're going to find this complete match. And sometimes you do, where you feel like it is. You need to know that it's good when somebody has some differences, because that's how you kind of, you know, it just makes it's a better makeup that way. And they get so obsessed with that I think that's why it's a lot of times for them to let go of things, because sometimes they do think somebody's their perfect match. Now the other person thinks they're crazy and they're not, and that person doesn't let go. Like, that's somebody who's very obsessive on things from past or hanging on to things and stuff like that. And I'm sure we've all had people like that, whether it be relationships or friendships, but sometimes it's almost like they're force feeding it. And you're not supposed to have to do that with a relationship. You're not supposed to have to fight through it. You're supposed to grow with it, not fight through it. And I always tell people, when you feel like you're fighting, like literally it becomes work all the time. That's not how it's supposed to do. You are supposed to nurture it. You are supposed to, you know, tend to it and care for it. But you're not supposed to have to, like, fight tooth and nail every day.
I always had the experience when I was an attorney, because I did divorce law for so many years, of catching people at, like, the worst times of their lives. And it was always like, why? Why did he do that? Why won't he love me? And I used to always say, you can't make him do anything. No. It's not you. It's him. And that was, for some of them, that was really all they needed to help them. And I kept thinking, why didn't their best friends tell them? Why did they have to come to me to hear that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Because I don't think people really realize that. You have to step out to do that. You have to step out to see, okay, this other person, they have issues. They have things that they're not okay. You know, they're not in a good place within themselves. So it's projected out on anything in their life. And, you know, especially once when you're in a relationship, you're going to be that first go-to person for them to project it on. So I don't think everybody knows, you know, because they're usually all wrapped up in the emotional side, to really kind of step back and look at and say, I don't really care what that person's going through. I only care about how it's affecting me. And it's hard to do that because you're in pain. So sometimes somebody else doing it and telling them that, they're like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, they are going. Yeah, they are messed up. They've been messed up for a couple of years. It doesn't make it any better, but it's kind of, it helps them to see it and understand it.
After the first couple of times I say the word why, it's, you can't say it anymore. There is no word why.
It just is.
And that would, you know, sometimes help. Because why is a weird word. Because no one really knows why someone does anything. Sometimes you don't know why you're doing it yourself.
So. No. Well, some people don't even know they're in the middle of doing it, so... And then, you know, other people have, I know people who have a hard time letting go of things that have happened with their jobs or careers, like especially if they lost a job after 20, 30 years and they were cut out of it, like literally distraught because it affected such a big effect on them, their families, things like that. And, but they hang on and they hang on, they hang on and they can't even, the opportunities for other ones aren't, won't even come in because you're blocking it. Like literally that's what we do. And people, everything works with energy. People don't, you know, they don't always... you know, see from our perspective how we see how it works. But
speaking of energy, how does that all fluctuate then? You know, someone who gets hurt, they're doing a why me, or their attention is on the other person causing the harm. Mm-hmm. What's going on with that person's energy?
Well,
it's ugly.
Yeah. Usually we're not in a good place because we are all made up of energy. If you suck in all that negative energy and anything like that, you become what you hang around, basically, or how you think or where your thoughts are. So if your thoughts are constantly on the negative of what happened or what was, you're going to get more of that. You know, and that's the law of attraction part that I bring out a lot in our episodes, where we when I say you emit what you want to bring in, it doesn't mean that I'm saying that somebody who was sitting there and their husband came home, cheated on them and told them he's leaving them for another woman. I'm not saying that person emitted that energy. What I'm saying is the how she reacts to the situation is where it's going to go from there. So she's going to hold resentment and anger and like we were talking about self-blame and all that stuff. You're going to sit in that for a while until you recognize you're doing it. And there is a healing process, so everybody goes through those steps. It's just she doesn't want that situation that happened to her, dictate how she's going to move forward so that she has another. Do you know how many people get cheated on and end up going from relationship to relationship to relationship having the same thing happen to them? Because that's what it's almost like they're
attracted
drawing.
To
yeah, absolutely. That type of person. So what you want to start to do is have some, it's self-awareness. That's how you let go of the past, is insight into yourself, self-awareness, also taking responsibility for our choices and decisions. We are a product of our choices, regardless of whether we stayed in something, got out of something, how we reacted to something. If somebody did something to us and we reacted a certain way, we chose to do that.
And don't you think going to psychic development the way that we do, we learn to read people's energies.
Yeah,
and we
absolutely.
Have,
we can avoid that
have,
stuff.
And we can avoid it. But even more importantly, and we've done this a number of times, the few of us who are here can go into a situation and we look at each other and we'll see somebody and we know exactly, we're all thinking the exact same thing because we've done that where, like, you know, that's bad.
Yeah.
Or we got to avoid that. And we all get it at the exact same time. It's kind of uncanny, but that's what getting in touch with your own energy does for you. It gets you the ability to get in touch with other people's energy.
And being and knowing who feels okay to you, who doesn't. You know, there's people who I know just because I, you know, from them, you know, having known them for years, they were in horrible relationships in the past. And now once they got more in tune with themselves, they're able to feel a person out. You know, I mean, they don't go near what the typical person was they used to go near. Because back then they were drawn to that kind of person, but now like they follow more of their inner voice and they're like, nope, something's telling me to stay away from them. And they don't end up in that kind of relationship anymore.
I know what I used to struggle with in high school and when I was starting college was I would always feel energies like that. And I knew what kind of people to take a step back from when a lot of my friends didn't. And it was really hard for me because I would get the backlash of, you're judgmental. Why don't you like this person? You have no good reasons. They've done nothing to you. And it's like, but I have that feeling and I'm self-aware enough to know that when I get that strong of a feeling about someone, I'm not going to doubt myself for it. Because especially if it's a negative sort of energy, you feel that. That doesn't come out of nowhere, you know?
Well, we do, but not everybody.
I know. But I think a lot of people get that where, like, their hair stands up on the back of their neck. And, like,
and conversely, though, you can meet somebody one time and then get the feeling like you know them. And
oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
so there, it's a...
Whether you want it or not.
Oh, and you want to – I'm not saying not to give people the benefit of the doubt because more oftentimes than not, I will give them the benefit of the doubt even despite my feelings.
But if you
feelings,
feel uncomfortable with them, yeah, definitely follow it.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet you remember all the times that you were right, though.
I remember every single one. And I also remember every time I –
was wrong.
I voiced my opinions to people and they told me I was judgmental and mean and awful. And then when they came back to me and said, you were right.
Yes.
So.
So whatever.
Whatever.
I can remember being the voice of the person. Let's give her a chance. Everybody deserves a chance.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was really not the right thing to do.
Comes back to bite you sometimes. Okay, though.
How much of a role does control play for someone who's trying to let go of the past?
Oh, you need to relinquish control at least to a certain point. I mean,
it controls you.
Yeah.
Until you do. You know, absolutely. So you can't. And I think it is people who are controlling that have the hardest time letting go because they are so frustrated that they, number one, couldn't control a person or a situation or their actions at that time. But it's a lot of times it's hard for them to let go of things and for years and years and years because of that. So you have to be able to kind of, it's the letting go. Let be free.
I like getting up in the morning and not knowing what's going to happen. And that, you know, having that openness. And if you feel that, that, you know, something, I think you have to be open and you have to,
I absolutely think a big part of letting go is looking forward to the future.
There you go.
Relinquish the past, focus on what's happening ahead of you. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're going to stay in one spot. You're going to be very stagnant your whole life.
We don't walk forwards, backwards.
No.
Like I say to people, if you were trying to walk, if you're walking backwards and you're trying to go forward, what are you looking at? Mm-hmm. Where you came from?
You can't move forward by looking backward.
There yeah, you because go. You're looking at where you came from, not where you're going. Mm-hmm. So you're going to trip. You know, you're going to fall in a hole.
Don't say that.
Oh, that's an insult, Jim.
Mark, we are thinking of you.
Definitely.
So forgiveness over the blame game, right? Big time?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Blaming, it's not going to matter who you blame. It still happened. You can't change it. And I think that's where people get frustrated that they can't change it.
And you don't have to forgive them either. You can just walk away mm-hmm. and say, when you're done with your issues, you know, mm-hmm. come and we'll have a cup of tea or something.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. But I need to get out of the sphere of influence. I need to get away from you. You know, for a while.
Your energy. Need to get suffocating sometimes. Yeah.
So you may not forgive them, but that's not the important thing, because, like I said, there's unforgivable things. You just have to walk away from it and not let it suck you dry.
100%. And I've been in that situation actually recently. I am doing a little spring cleaning in the front department. I just had a talk with a very good friend of mine. I've known them over 10 years, probably 12 years. I'm only 23. So that's a long time. That's half my life. So I had the talk with them where I told them, listen, I am not angry with you. I'm not upset with you. I just have come to the realization that our relationship is not healthy for either of us, and I need to take a step back. And that's okay to do. Mm-hmm. I think that's what people have a hard time with. Understanding that it's okay to talk to someone and tell them what you're feeling.
Yeah.
And say.
Well, that's a lot of times the communication is the part people have a hard time with. Mm-hmm. So if they are feeling like they can't let go of something, I recommend talking to somebody. And if you don't want to go to a therapist and you can't talk to a friend, you know, find somebody to talk to, even if it's somebody, if you like church, it doesn't matter what it is you want to do. But really not internalizing it is the important thing. And not the other thing I think people do wrong, and people mean well, is they'll ask 10 different people and they get 10 different, you know, outlooks on the situation, and then it's really difficult because they're more confused than they started out with, and it's really just about them, you know, kind of letting go themselves, not necessarily what everybody else is telling them to, you know, how to view it, or kind of like you said, when you tell people, you just tell them that one line. It is what it is, you know, which is hard to hear, you know, when you're in it. It's not easy because, you know, some people are like, just suck it up. Don't worry. But there are people who are broken. You know, at that time, they are. They feel broken. And it's okay for them to feel that way at that time. You know, you just need to help them. It's just getting back up. You don't want to stay that way. You don't want to stay in pieces. You don't even want to be glued back together. You want to be all perfect again.
Polished and shined up.
I think that sometimes the battle scars are helpful. Sometimes they make you better.
Stronger.
Stronger and different sometimes.
Yep.
You know, I think that if you repeated a scenario once or twice with different people and you wake up and you decide you have to make a total 180 mm-hmm. change, That's something really important but you couldn't have done that unless you did it.
Yep.
You know, made the mistake. So sometimes, you know, the injuries or the dings that you get make you a better person. You
know? What doesn't knock you down makes you stronger.
Right.
That's right. So the reason why we're bringing up this subject now is because the holiday season is coming up. We're going to be dealing with relatives, some of them. Just don't want to deal with some of the relatives. Some of them they haven't seen in 20 years. And the moment the two of them open, you know, get into a room, everything's suddenly awkward. How do we help them during this holiday season?
Separate rooms.
You know what? I think most of the time family members are fighting. If they've been fighting for a long time, I know in my family, I don't even remember why. But they're holding on to this thing.
Grudges.
Yeah. No, not good. It's not healthy for anyone involved.
No, and it affects the atmosphere, like, mm-hmm. for everybody. So it's just, like, leave it at home for the day. If you feel like you still need to hang on to it, which you're not supposed to, then just for that, you know, find a way to not be in that moment.
So do you suggest telling them before they come, leave it at home?
I'm going to say use the law of attraction again and go with only the positives.
Yeah.
Something in their past that really happened that was really fun, really good. Start off with that and work your way up any way, shape, or form.
That's a good one.
Any chance you can get to relive the past and it was in a good way, that way you're sending out
like
the better vibes. But that can also work with relationships or married couples who are struggling now and they have to meet, you know, they have to be with the in-laws and whatnot. Work on what is already a positive in your relationship and build from there. And of course, build up on that after the holiday season. Just don't stop after the holidays. But if you're in a tough relationship and you're going to be with family, work with what you have now that's been a positive and move forward from there.
Okay.
Thank you. Sounds good.
It does. It sounds good.
Are you a psychologist in your
own life? I do have I do have a dual degree in psychology. First off, have a dual degree in psychology. I have a BS and a BA in psych with several master's courses.
I knew this.
But speaking of the psychology part, I don't know if we touched on it on this episode. Not letting go of the past, is that an addiction? Is it addicting?
Yeah, for some people, absolutely. Yeah. They can't let go.
Pete's, I said this to Dana, they're only happy when they're unhappy. Mm-hmm. There's some people that can only exist if they're unhappy. Yep. We know a few.
Yeah, absolutely. And if they're not going to let go, then they're ones you really don't want to surround yourself with because their energy is not good for you.
Do they have a problem? Do they think they have a problem?
Oh, no, they don't. They don't acknowledge that they have a problem. That's the problem. You know, they don't recognize.
Yes, they do. They don't acknowledge.
Yeah, they don't recognize it or own it. you know, and they just live in it and they find excuses, and that's the problem with those kind of people. They find a reason to be, this is why I'm angry, this is why that's annoying, this is why I'm complaining. They don't, you know, find any reason of why this is a happy day, it's sunny out, you know,
look at the beauty.
Yeah, you know, I got a good parking spot, like nothing. There has to be something to complain about. Or, you know, it's always, I can't, I won't. The complete opposite of what you're supposed to do in The Secret. So that's what they attract more. That's why they're living that way. Right. They attract more of that in. So you don't want any negative people like that.
So in this case, this would actually be a very good time to be selfish when letting go of the past.
Oh, yeah. About you. Selfish about you.
Yeah.
You know, about yourself. Yep.
Because then if we continue to live in the past, it's like a living death. You're always in the past. You're not going to be growing as a person or spiritually, and you're just there, which is pretty much death anyway. So if you can't
just
find
existing.
You're making it worse. So if you can't find a way, you have to find a way to grow. It's the only way you're going to be able to live.
And if you don't grow, if at least try to put out of your mind the mistakes that you've made so that you can meet new experiences without that bad experience.
Or like what Mercedes said, forgive the situation.
Right.
You know, some things you can forgive yourself, okay, but if things were not happening to you, forgive the situation. You don't have to necessarily forgive the person per se. You know, pity perhaps, but you know, you got to forgive and forget, well, as much as possible, the situation in order for yourself to grow.
And also, I've said it before, forgive yourself for things that you've done.
Self-forgiveness.
So that, you know, I did this.
At that time.
Mm. I made a mistake. Boy, I look like an idiot. You know what? I'm over it.
Boy.
I can't get over it without forgetting about it. Because I'll just continually remember it and be miserable.
Oh boy, do I relate to that.
I think we all do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're different. We handle things different. We see things differently. You know, I see things completely differently now than I did, you know, 3 years ago, 4 years, if 1 year ago, or 6 months ago. So it's you know, you change so much, and sometimes what you thought was such a big deal, it's so small.
Absolutely.
Don't sweat the small stuff.
Exactly.
I think the goal here is growth. Personal growth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You have to learn and you have to accept in order to grow.
And no, you can't force other people to grow.
Exactly.
I'm
good
very
one, Vera.
Good. But go a little bit further with that, with the accepting. Accepting the growth. Can you elaborate that on a little bit more?
You have to be willing to receive the lesson that's being taught to you, because that's what's going to help you grow as a person. I don't think that as an individual you can grow if you don't go through tests and trials and difficult situations like that. But
accepting is a very tough
test. Yeah, a lot of people have a hard time with it.
Very difficult time. Continue.
What specifically do you want me to elaborate on? Because acceptance is a broad topic.
If a stranger walked up to you while you're walking down the road, and he said to you, "You look beautiful today." How do you handle that?
Oh, take the compliment.
Absolutely.
Say thank you gracefully. Yeah, actually, it's really funny because I have some of the Doreen Virtue decks on my phone, and I'll do like a daily card, and one of mine was receiving this morning, and I get it with Jackie every time, almost every time I sit down with her, because I have a problem with it myself, because I am very much a giver, and that's just part of my personality, so it's really hard for me to accept it when people are giving things to me. But you have to learn to do that. People are nice. They want to compliment you. And
or if they want to help pay for stuff, or if they just do want to stay in a store and help you work for a couple of hours for nothing and not have that person feel bad.
Hint, hint, we're talking about Jackie. She also has this problem that I have.
I wasn't going to exploit that, but...
I did, because I yell at her all the time.
Good,
so
somebody
it's
has
okay.
to.
There are a number of us in our immediate group that are that way. I think, because we all, like...
A vast virus database.
Oh, no!
We're protected.
We are protected.
Anyways,
accepting.
I'm looking at you because I think birds of a feather flock together. So we all kind of have that issue accepting when people are trying to give to us, whether it be time, money, compliments,
services.
Yeah. Nice emotions. You know, a lot of people have a hard time with it because we live in a society that
keeps score
and beats people down, causing you to beat yourself down, because that's what becomes acceptable in your mind. But it's not the way it should be. Learn to accept yourself and other people, and learn how to receive when people give.
Very good.
She's so wise for a woman her age.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Whenever she says I'm 23, I'm like, I never think of Mercedes as 23.
But she knows Jackie better than I do, which is why I kind of threw that at Mercedes to say that whole thing. I knew she'd come up with something brilliant like that and to the point. So that way we can all grow together.
We used to like him, right?
Used to, not anymore.
Wow, that was a quick in and out.
Here's the way that I like to put it. I am an avid social media user, and I put it out on Facebook quite frequently. I like to say that in order for someone who's giving to help somebody else's light shine bright, you need to be willing to receive that same thing to make your light shine bright as well. Because if you're dim, there's no way you can help someone else.
This is true.
You can't do it. It's just not going to happen. I know, because I've tried. It's just draining. So if you're not to full capacity, don't even try it, because you're not serving yourself or anybody else.
Speaking of giving and receiving, we have been now for like the last month and 3 weeks been raising donations for the Trinity Metaphysical School.
Good segue.
How are we doing in that, Mercedes?
I actually just put out a post on Facebook today because we are doing pretty well, but we still need help. So on our Indiegogo site, we have raised a little over $1,200, but in total, I think it's $1,500 or $1,600, which is awesome because it seemed like in a few days we got to that number. So I know that if people go to our page, go to Indiegogo, if you go to Indiegogo and just search Trinity School of Metaphysics, it'll come up immediately for you to read our story. But you can also go to Facebook and go to Trinity Metaphysical Center and Gift Shop. Search that. It'll come up. Like our page. Among the Realms, that's our radio show page. You can like that on Facebook. And we have the links for the Indiegogo campaign there, too. But just read our story.
And Twitter.
On Twitter now, Trinity Meta. Mm-hmm. Trinity M-E-T-A. So tweet at us. We want friends. followers are great. But just any small donation will help. Anything. Share our link. Get the story out. We're trying to open a school of metaphysics called Trinity School of Metaphysics, keeping with the theme here. but everything we're doing for you guys. So we just want to help people. It's going to be a 501c3, which is a nonprofit. So if you make a large donation, it is, you can write it off in your taxes, right, Vera? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
You have to say what, or I know they could read the story, but perhaps it would be well served right now if we discuss that. We're trying to raise the money so that we can do the legal work and the accounting work and the rental of the premises, which is adjoining here. So that we're really looking for startup costs. Am I not correct?
Yeah, yes. we are trying to take care of the red tape, ladies and gentlemen, basically. And I personally want to thank my friends for sharing and donating whatever they have so far. And I also want to thank the people who came out last Friday for a, what was the special? The 1750?
Oh, bring a friend.
Bring a friend, yes.
Which is the second Friday of every month here at Trinity Metaphysical, 3617 Route 23 South, Hamburg, wow. New Jersey. We're in Hardeston Plaza North. What is that next door to us? Body and Soul Hair Salon is right next door to us. I got it down.
She is your human GPS, ladies and gentlemen.
Our phone number here is 973-209-7070.
And so, what kind of what do you offer here?
Wish I could tell you.
What do you guys offer here?
We offer a little bit of everything. We do readings, energy work, psychic portraits. We do massage. We do parties. We do reading parties. We do we have artwork. We have a lot of handcrafted things in here from, you know, our vendors that come in here, and so we have a lot of
crystals.
Yep,
stones.
Crystals, stones, sage. There's a gift shop, so jewelry. There's numerology. We do a little bit of everything, and we do classes every week. We have psychic development classes. We do past life. We do spirit guide meditations. We do a little bit of everything. Ghost hunter certification course, which is this Sunday. So, and that's why we want to do the school, so we can have a bigger place to do more classes, have more teachers come in, and those teachers can start teaching some things too on our radio show to share.
And we're not just solely focusing on metaphysical with the school either. We're going to do health and wellness, some
music
and art therapy. Mm-hmm. We're going to
paranormal.
Mm-hmm. Paranormal. We'll start doing the radio show out of there, so we have a bigger space to
cause more chaos.
Cause more chaos. Incorporate more guests. Yeah. So
I can't emphasize strongly enough what a difference that this place has made to a lot of people in their personal life, their health, their well-being, their recovery from all kinds of things. It's just been the most invaluable experience, speaking personally, but I also know from other people also that I don't know what I would have done without this. It was the best discovery in the last couple of years for me, and it's like, it's This is my good addiction. I've become addicted to this place, and it's and for the best reasons of all because it's helped me improve as a person, and it's put a calmness in my life that I that I've been gradually developing, but this has helped a great deal.
You're gonna make me cry.
And the
is that possible?
Oh no!
Wow!
And the friends I have made.
You know? That's right.
Yeah. Well, you were just crying when you were laughing before.
I know.
To clarify, what Paul was saying is that Vera is pretty unshakable most times. Yeah, she is strong, strong Vera. So
Vera used to be a lawyer. She has cold ice in her veins. Oh, no. Nothing
tough
can
skin.
Really, yeah.
Tough skin.
Nothing can bother her.
Yes, but she's very sensitive.
She
so that's
is sensitive.
Why that's why I got her.
I get really emotional when I start talking about Trinity and especially the School of Metaphysics because I really want it to happen because I'm a huge supporter. And when I get emotional, I'm not very eloquent. So Dana just said everything I was trying to say for the past, 5 or 10 minutes that we were talking about.
Cop out.
And it is sexy.
Correct.
Was that sexy? They say I have an extra career if I just focus in on it.
And welcome to Among the Realms After Dark.
I'm going to copyright that. I will find a way to copyright that. That was awesome. So, in closing
that
here.
Mark's been trying to get that radio show going for a while.
Oh, a long time. And failed. So, letting go of the past, it's truthfully, for those of you who are not that intuitive yet, or...
Oh, I notice you say yet.
Yet, because you all have the potential to be. For those of you who are beginners at this, letting go of the past is like playing Monopoly. You all know the game. You've all played it. You all hate it. After about an hour and a half of playing, especially with one person, you're just ready to give up.
Yeah, that's a long game.
It is a long, frustrating game, especially if you stink at numbers in real estate. You just get up, you give up, you throw the money at the other player, and you walk away.
But that's not what you should do in the game of life.
That is what you should do in letting go of the past. That is exactly what you should do in letting go of the past. Give up. Give up the past, let it go, and walk away.
Correct.
And then you go for the positive friends in your life. You stick with them, and you grow.
And laugh.
And laugh.
And laugh.
And laugh. A lot.
A lot. Laughter is so important.
Absolutely.
Yes, it is.
So that's it. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for hanging out with us this evening. My name is Paul. Ladies, say goodnight.
I'm Mercedes.
Goodnight.
We'll say goodnight collectively.
Oh, all right.
I said ladies, let's say goodnight.
All right. I'm Dana. Goodnight.
Vera, goodnight.
And Jackie.
Goodnight.
Goodnight.
There we go. Goodnight, everybody.